Well, hello again, George Holford, with a treat today. Mayor Lauren Wheaton, good friend from several years back since you moved here. You've been very active in a lot of places, and we're gonna learn a lot more about you today. This show is really about you.
All right.
And we're going to start with birth, and it's who you are. It's Billy Graham in most major religions. It's who are you? Where'd you come from? What are your values? What's important to you? Don't spend a lot of time in high school, but we'll get you on through that.
Okay, good.
We'll get you to school, and you came here, and you're the mayor of our fine city and doing a great job. And we appreciate what you and the city council and the city staff are doing. So welcome to Local Matters.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to get to sit down and talk with you more, because I get to talk with you a lot anyway.
We're talking soundbite. You know, we're running to each other. We used to at meetings before I retired. And
say things great. Real fast and go off. Yep.
So let's start at birth.
Yeah, so we're going
to... And I'm going to try to do something very hard for me. I'm going to try to be quiet and listen. This isn't my show. It's your show.
Well, I'm happy to be on your show, and you tell me to be quiet when I need to be quiet.
No.
But no, so I guess we'll go back to Mississippi.
Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, that's where I'm originally from. I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. Okay. Interesting fact, my mom, though, she's actually from Sevierville. My mom is an East Tennessee girl. So she does. She always makes fun. She says, I moved from Tennessee to Mississippi, and then you moved from Mississippi to Tennessee.
That's right. Two good states.
But I was born in Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay.
My dad is a dentist. My mom was a preschool music teacher, excuse me.
Okay.
And I've got a brother who is a year and 2 days younger than me. My mom actually went into labor during my first birthday. And so I remind my brother all the time that I never got to have a first birthday party. And so he owes me. He has still not paid me back. And, you know, here we are 43 and 42 years old, but he still owes me a first birthday. But, from Jackson, Mississippi, I went to a private school down there called Jackson Academy.
Sure.
My mom taught there. You know, it was a K-12.
Yep.
So very different environment, really, from a lot of, from a lot of the school systems up here. Went there, graduated. That's where I found I had a passion for anatomy and physiology. I took an anatomy and physiology class and realized I loved figuring out how the human body worked. And having an aunt who was a nurse, decided that nursing was going to be my interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people don't know that the mayor is not a full-time job.
Oh, we know that.
Yeah, well, you know that. Yeah.
I forgot the nursing.
The nursing, I'm a nurse practitioner. So that's what I went to. I went to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
We'll say our hottie toddies right
that
here.
One more time.
Ole Miss, yeah. University of Mississippi. My kids still call it Old Miss.
And I'm like, y'all
get it eventually. But went to the University of Mississippi and studied nursing there.
Wow.
Yep. And the way you do nursing school at Ole Miss is you do 2 years at the university in Oxford, and then you're supposed to go back to the medical center in Jackson.
In Jackson, Ole Miss.
Exactly. I went a little bit longer. I stayed 3 years at Ole Miss. Did the sorority life. I was a Kappa Delta there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Ole Miss was kind of 13th grade for a lot of us in Jackson. That's what we called it, because so many people from Jackson go to Ole Miss. But went there and then moved back to Jackson to finish up nursing school at the medical center there, and then found I had a passion for emergency medicine. I'm an adrenaline junkie.
Wow.
I work really good under pressure. Yeah. I figured that out. And so emergency room medicine.
Now you're mayor.
And now I'm mayor. So that has definitely carried over into other roles.
That's great.
But I realized I really loved emergency medicine, and so went in and started working at the Level 1 Trauma Center at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. And for those that don't know, Level 1 Trauma Center is your highest level. Yeah, that's your big emergencies come there, all your big stuff. So, we were constantly with, gunshot wounds, heart attacks, car wrecks, all that stuff would come in, and we would treat it. And I absolutely loved it. I worked nights. I work 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. I do not like mornings. I still hate mornings.
I'm not a big either.
My husband wakes up every morning, tries to talk to me, and I'm like, give me an hour.
I'm out.
I don't want to talk to you yet. But worked nights down there, and then realized that while I love Jackson, I did kind of want to see some other places, because I'd only been in Jackson and Oxford. I had not left Mississippi. And so went to applied for a job at Vanderbilt.
No, I did. So there we go.
See, yep. So I'm doing my tour of SEC schools. I did Ole Miss and then moving on to Vanderbilt. And so, so I applied for a job at the ER at Vanderbilt. I remember I went to interview And that day I was thinking, okay, I'll, you know, nice to meet you. I'll walk off and wait to hear what happens. And the nurse manager looked at me. She said, can you start Monday?
Wow,
and I was like, no, I don't even live here. So hold on one second. But she offered me the job there. And I said,
that's
okay.
Great.
And, you know, I'm very much I'm going to pray about decisions I make and ask God, you know,
providentially.
Yeah.
You were meant to be here.
If I'm supposed to be here, swing that
Amen.
Door wide open. And so when
Amen.
She offered me that job right there on the spot, I went, all right, I hear you. And so moved to Nashville and started working there in the emergency room. And they had a nurse practitioner program at the time where
I
did, where if you worked at Vanderbilt and went to school, they would give you 75% off of tuition. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, like how
what
can you not do
deal.
That? So I worked pretty much full time in the ER and did this bridge program where you go full calendar year. You go fall, spring, summer semesters, work three semesters through for 1 year, and you get your nurse practitioner degree. And so I did that while working in the ER and got my master's in science from Vanderbilt and went on to be a nurse practitioner.
George Hofford again. Well, man, I've already learned if we've got an emergency or
I'm here for you.
A nurse practitioner. Mayor, I did not know. I knew you had because we have a city manager form of government.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not full time, even though it is a full time.
It is full time hours, is what I say. Yeah.
But that's great. So we're local matters talking about who is our mayor.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back. Go right ahead.
So was working in Nashville, got my master's, like I said, and entered orthopedics is what I wanted to do. I think I'd broken like 15 bones by the time I went to college. And so I was very familiar with the ortho world.
Yeah.
And so went in and worked for an orthopedic surgeon who had never had a nurse practitioner before.
Getting used to the new era.
Very much. Yeah, very much so. So I went into this practice and really had to create my role, create my scope, create my protocols, which was, again, a great experience for me going forward.
On the job training,
walking into a brand new situation and having to define your role and where do you fit in and how do you fit in, and setting up boundaries for how much you can work, because, you know, he'd have me go in and do call, and then I'd have to come in and help with surgery, and I'd be taking X-rays, and so you kind of have to say, I can't do everything, and so got
wow.
to do that. Yeah, I got to do that, and then transitioned into a home health type of nurse practitioner program.
Okay. Yeah,
and that is actually where some of my desire to serve the community came in.
I got you.
Yeah. I kind of already, you know, being a nurse, I feel like you already have a servant's heart because we're serving. We're always taking care of people.
That's right.
So I already had that servant heart, but then going into the community, I did a home health program where we saw patients who had low access to health care or no access to health care, were at or below the poverty level in rural areas. And so this was an area that I had not seen because I had
got a firsthand experience.
Very much so.
Because I prepared you
again
later for public service to be mayor.
Just setting up these little stepping stones. 100%. I never knew that, you know, doing that would lead me here. But I lived in cities. I'd lived in Jackson and Nashville. And so going out into the rural community and seeing the needs of the people, when I'd walk into.
Great.
Yeah, because I'd walk into someone's home and I wasn't just the nurse practitioner. I was their insurance agent. I was their pharmacist. I was, you know, their babysitter sometimes. I was their grocery go-getter. I was
spiritual
their therapist.
Advisor,
yes,
people.
You know, because you're sitting in a person's home where they're much more vulnerable than a physician's office. And I really saw the struggles that these people were having about how they weren't getting their medicines because they couldn't buy diapers for their kid.
That's exactly. There's a real world out there.
Yes. And
that most of us don't really see.
Don't see. And it's just because, you know, until you put yourself in someone else's shoes and you put yourself in that situation, you can't understand what they're going through. And so seeing that really opened my eyes and I went, man, there's a lot of needs out here. And how can I serve? What else can I do to help? And so doing that job really opened my eyes and made me want to do more for the communities that I lived in and things like that. And so that was another little, like I said, stepping stone getting me to where I ended up here today.
There's a hubby involved.
Oh, I got to talk about him.
And
shoot.
Family hubby.
Talk that. So while I was in Nashville,
we'll give him
a little time. So while I was in Nashville, that's where I actually met my husband, Wade.
Okay, Wade.
He's from Cookeville, born and raised native.
That's it.
Yes,
okay.
He is. Yes. But he was working in Jamestown Tennessee at the time.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we met in Nashville and did a long distance relationship.
How about that?
You know, I was 30 when I met him. He was 26. You know, it's kind of a joke that I married this little baby.
But that's great.
I was very, you know, I already had bought my house, bought a car, had my job. And here he is, this little 26-year-old kid.
Career.
Yeah. I knew what I was doing. And he walks in. And that whole, you know, when you know thing. I remember calling my mom.
I agree. I totally agree.
My brother was getting married the next month, and I brought my husband to my brother's wedding, and my mom said, oh, don't bring this boy. You'd just known him a month. Thank goodness it worked out. That would have been bad if he was in the wedding pictures. But yeah, married him, and at the time, he had to work and live in Jamestown because he works for Farm Bureau Insurance, and they wanted you to live in the same county.
Great friend, Philip Baker.
He works in Philip's office. What a leader. Again, another person
Philip.
who knew when I became mayor, you know, Philip is someone that pushed me along the way
and helped me out.
Who made a difference.
He's not a... No, Philip,
I try to push him. I try to push him in front of the camera a few times.
One of my favorite chair of the chamber.
He is. He's a great
communitarian.
Guy. But when Wade and I met, we lived in Clark Range.
Yeah.
I went from Nashville to Clark Range.
You got a great experience.
I was a cheerleading coach there. I dove right in head first to it. But again, went to another area that I'd never lived in an area like that and saw the needs of a community. And so we lived in Clark Range. But after a year of living in Clark Range and driving to Nashville every day for work, I looked at Wade and I said, I love you. I'm moving to Cookeville. You can either come with me or I'll see you on the weekends.
I agree. So
we moved down to Cookeville.
You know, I've been here since 04 myself, and Jamestown, Clark Range, that area has produced so many entrepreneurs, and we could name
it really
Wayne
had,
Cravens.
Yes, yes.
I could start naming
Buffy Key. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like
who are from that area,
yes.
And they've settled in our town, our region, and we're very blessed. So, you know, I've already learned something, Mayor, and we'll be right back after a brief break. Boy, have I learned a lot about my friend and fellow Mississippian and fellow Ole Miss alumni.
I know, keep making connections here.
But we agree, we're Tennesseans.
We are, yes. I'll wear that orange if I have to.
I'm still Ole Miss Rebel football, but every rest of the time I'm...
Definitely now.
Mayor, we're glad you're here. Let's pick up where we left off. You had gone all the way through school, met your husband, had a great experience of learning how to nurse practitioner. So let's start there and then talk. Let's go from there.
Okay. So ended up in Cookeville.
Yeah.
And the minute I got here, loved it. It you know, that college town feel. It felt very much like Oxford, where I went to school, and really enjoyed it. Wade has always called Cookeville a utopia. And he's always said, he said, don't tell people about Cookeville because they'll show up.
We don't tell too many people.
Well, apparently the word's out. But yeah, he always said, you know, don't tell people. We don't want them all coming here. And the minute I got here, I understood what he meant. You know, I continued to work as a nurse practitioner. He, Divine Intervention, got transferred into Phillips' office in Cookeville.
Phillips, wonderful.
So he started working in Cookeville. I was already working in the surrounding area. And, you know, we decided, okay, we want to start a family. We both knew we wanted kids.
Oh, sure.
And so had my daughter, and she was born in so we moved to Cookeville in 2013. So I've only been here 11 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so moved to Cookeville in 2013. Had my daughter that first year as well. So we moved to a new city, buy a house, have a kid. Great idea.
Just moving on.
Yeah, let's just throw this together at once here. So have her, and then 18 months later, I have my son. And so we've got two small kids. I love working. Being in healthcare is a passion of mine. So I went back to work, and my kids went to daycare. They went to Jacob's Ladder.
Well, sure.
Wonderful daycare.
Right, right.
But I get there, and I start kind of seeing some needs. And so they asked me, hey, can you serve on the board? And I was like, sure. I love getting involved. I'll serve on the board. So I served on the board at Jacob's Ladder.
Okay.
And realized that there were some needs and things like that. And so I try to start helping out. Again, all these little stepping stones keep coming into play as to how I end up.
Providential.
Uh-huh. As mayor. And so, yeah, I get to the daycare. That said, we need someone to serve on the board. So I hop on there and start helping out. Then we have the Heart of the City Playground, which I had some friends. We were in book club together. And Kelly Swallows was one of them. They were getting this big.
Matt Swallows.
Yep. Katie. All then they were getting this big, event, you know, big drive here, this huge fundraising drive.
Raised
to make
a half million,
half
three
a million,
quarters
yes,
a million.
Yeah, to get this playground built in the heart of the city in Dogwood Park. And so I got on board with that and helped helped with the fundraising, helped build the playground. I always take the kids over there and I'm like, see that screw right there? It might be a little crooked, but I put that screw in right there. Yeah, so there's so much ownership of that playground.
And it's all socioeconomic. This is not
this is we want anyone. And here I am, you know, now the mayor who gets to help out with the playground. And I promise, we know we need some things fixed on it right now. We're trying to get those fixed. But guess what? It's impossible.
How many years old is it now?
So that was 2000. Oh, my gosh. When was that? I was pregnant with Palmer. So 15, maybe 2016, I think, is when we finally got it done.
Yeah, we actually... small contribution, but we were involved in...
and again, community came together. Everyone was out there building. We all got to be a part of it. And then when it got, you know, my parents bought a brick to help fundraise. And so my kids' names are on the bricks walking in. You know, they live in Mississippi, but it was this beautiful community event coming together, making that playground. And so I got to be a part of that. And again, here I am getting a little bit more involved.
You were OJ. You were learning public service. And here you evolved. That wasn't your goal, probably starting out.
Not at all. It was just getting involved. And then I had a friend who served on the Child Advocacy Center board. And I'd never even heard of a Child Advocacy Center, didn't know what that was. I went to the fundraiser luncheon and, was brought to tears to hear what they do. And said, I said, how can I help? And they said, we need board members. And I went, all right. Here I am joining another board and getting to be a part of another community resource that was so desperately, and unfortunately, we need, you know, the fact that we need one is so terrible, but helping out in that area. And so I joined that board. And so here I am doing Jacob's Ladder board, and I'm doing the Child Advocacy Center board. And then another friend of mine, she started Food to the Rescue, Ashley Swan. And so she's... Food to the Rescue. And so I was one of the first delivery drivers. There was 7 of us, I think. We had little grocery bags. And that's how we took...
Family and a job, don't you?
Yeah, still got 2 kids. Forgot about that stuff.
No, I'm saying.
But yeah, still had 2 kids.
You're getting involved and juggling all.
So you can do all the things.
Labor of love.
It was, yeah. I just found these areas that I was passionate about. And so, yeah, I started helping out and volunteering there. Especially once I had kids, you know, I kind of saw some of my passions transition into ways to help the children in the community. So just... I guess, you know, the interesting thing is it wasn't some big epiphany, right? I didn't have this big, I'm going to become mayor. It was all these little things.
It was evolution.
Yeah, it was very,
over time,
yes,
right?
It was.
Several years.
Yeah. All these little things just started lining up, and I got involved here, and I got involved here, and I started doing this. And it grew into this, you know, someone asking me one day, why don't you run for city council? You're already doing all these things. How would you run for city council? Yeah. And I laughed out loud. I audibly laughed out loud, and I called Wade. I called my husband right away, and I was like, Wade, you're not going to believe this. A friend of ours thinks that I should run for city council. And I paused for a second and waited him to laugh as well, and he went, no, I think you should do it.
Amen.
Not at the time. I was like, lost? Like, we got a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. We just bought a new house. I've got 2 jobs. I was working 2 jobs at the time. He was working his job. I was like, we don't have time for this. And he said, no. He goes, I think you should do it. I think you'd be great.
Wow.
And I'll be honest, I had to look up who was on city council because I didn't even know.
Yeah. But you had total support from your husband and family.
And people always ask me, how do you do what you do? And I say, if I did not have, I've got that person. I've got my person in my corner who, when I'm down or I'm tired and I say, I can't do it, he's over there making fun of me sometimes because he's like, well, you signed up for this. But he's also saying, you can do this. And so that's how, like I said, all these little things started happening and I started getting involved. And someone said, you know, I think you should run for city council. And again, divine intervention. I prayed real hard about this one. And I said, Lord, if I'm supposed to do this again, you're going to have to fling these doors wide open. I mean, I'm going to need no barriers because I've never done politics.
You've been volunteers, but you never.
But
run
never, for, no. Well, run I ran office. For student body president in 7th grade.
Yeah.
Failed horribly. Like, didn't even get in the top 10. I mean, I had a great campaign slogan. My maiden name is Revere, and my campaign slogan was "No Fear, Vote Revere."
That's
like,
great.
Right? How does that not win? Yes. How does that not win? It didn't. And so that was my only entering of politics. 7th grade student body, whatever it was, failed horribly. And so when I started talking about running for office, I very much was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. This is nothing I've ever done.
But you spent some years and got to know people, and
yes,
they knew you, mm-hmm, and you probably had more support knew more people than you thought you did.
I did, very much so. And then what I realized is that when you go and meet people and they see, they believe in you and they see in you what they want to see in a leader, they introduce you to the next person.
That's
so,
right.
You know, of course,
that's
the first
right.
person I call up is Gene Davis. And
love.
I was like, oh, right. And I was like, I know you don't really know me, but everyone
love
knows
Gene.
You. You know, you're the first and only female mayor of Cookeville. What does it look to be a female on city council? And had conversations with her and Connie Albright. And
love Joe
yeah.
and Connie Albright. Right.
And so,
I miss Joe.
Yeah, I bet.
Day.
See, and I never really got to know him.
Yeah.
But again, all these people started getting put in my path that I didn't know I needed and didn't know that I'd already made these connections. And so it all starts lining up. And here I am getting this encouragement and just being lifted up to eventually run for city council.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
now you're now in your
second term.
We do have term limits.
Which I love.
And well, there might be a bunch, but I do too. I think the right thing, mm-hmm. but sometimes you find good people you'd like to have them carry on. So
no, but
so,
yeah, so
boy,
that's.
I tell you what, I'm getting ready. I mean, I'm so excited about this next segment because we're going to look in the crystal ball and
okay.
talk about you in the future.
All right.
The Cookeville in the future. George Hoffer with the mayor of our fine city. Be right back. Okay, I'm getting too excited, Mayor, but it's just, I told you all fair before, I'm having PTSD for Chamber Economic Development folks since I retired. I think I'm still in the cockpit. I put the helmet on and I think, nope, I'm retired. I need to, but before we go, volunteers, now that I'm volunteering and I'm doing things I have passion for, I have even a greater new appreciation. Most of these volunteer agencies don't have staff.
No.
So there are a lot of great people in our town, volunteers making things happen every day. You see it on city council. You've been one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so proud of our community and our region, our state.
And
what we do and how we work together. Done,
yes, yes.
And we're just such a quality community.
We really are. And I think as I have been in local government, people ask me what something that surprises you, when, you know, that now that you're in the government, in local government, and I say how much I love this city. You know, I've always loved Cookeville, but when you dive into it and you see all the nuances and all the fabric of what makes up Cookeville and the people, you can't help but fall even more in love with it because it is such a wonderful place. And now that I'm in here and I'm part of the leadership team for Cookeville, and I always say it's a team. It is a team mentality, though. No one person is doing everything in this city. No one person ever has done everything in this city.
No.
It is a team effort. And we all work together so well to make this such a wonderful city. And that's what I love about this place is that we are all there, all wanting the greater good for Cookeville. At the end of the day, we may see different ways to get there.
Yeah, but we agree.
But we all want to get there. Yeah, we all want to make Cookeville a great place to live, to work, to have a family, to start a business, to buy a home, all that kind of stuff. And so I tell young people, they'll ask me, well, how did you get to where you know, what are some ways that you can get involved? And I say things, go volunteer.
Just
find a lot there. Yeah. You will be able to find whatever your passion is. I'll ask kids, tell me what your passion is.
Yeah.
And someone will say,
yeah.
We know I love animals. Great. Go volunteer at the animal shelter.
That's
you know,
right.
Something like that. Find something you're passionate about and go volunteer in that area. And you'll be amazed at what you'll find, what the doors will open, well, you know, the next steps that you can take. And so this is a community where you can do that. And it's absolutely wonderful. And I think it's part of what makes Cookeville so successful is you do have a lot of people who want to be involved in the path and the future of Cookeville.
No question. You said something just a while ago. Lillian Hartgrove, that's another.
Oh, gosh,
joy.
Yeah, man, yeah.
And our team, we're Sam Brooks. I can start naming. I'm going to name names and forget names.
Because there's so many people.
But we have a workforce development initiative that's a partnership. And people would come in to see, to talk to us about how we did it.
Yeah.
You know what we always told them?
What?
Don't go home and try this unless you have the network and the political, because most people are playing a win-lose.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play win-lose here. We play win-win.
We do.
All these agencies, and they're competing, and we are blessed, and that's why this is home. And I hope 30 years from now There's Hoffords running around.
I'm sure there will be.
And
yep.
Hopefully there'll
little
be
Wheatons. I'm sure there'll be Wheatons everywhere. Yes.
There you go.
But yeah, it is a place that you see people getting involved, and I think it's also good that you see, younger generations getting involved.
Yes.
That means you've got people who want to carry on that torch,
right.
And that's very much how I felt when I got on city council, because I was only 38 when I was first elected as vice mayor, and I very much told people I feel like it. You know, we've had a great people in front of us who have done great work and done great things. But I think it's, the next, our generation's time to start stepping up. And so that's where you saw people coming in.
Great segue into this segment. Let's look in the crystal ball.
Yep.
Both for the city, the county, our Upper Cumberland, but also for you.
Mm-hmm.
You've been washed in the blood. I mean, you're
drank from the fire hose. That's what, they say. Yeah,
no, it's in your blood, and thank the good Lord, and a servant's heart. And I know you've got... God's got good, big plans for you. We don't know what they are,
but I'd have to trust him. Yep. Because I didn't know I'd end up here, but he's put me here. And it is something that, like I said, there are definitely days where I wonder, what in the world am I doing? Why did I do this?
I understand.
But more times than not, I find a little blessing in something that I get to do, or someone tells me. I had someone the other day just come up to me and say, thank you. Thank you for what you do.
That makes all the difference.
Because
people don't realize that
I'm not doing it to get glory or fame or the spotlight. I want to make sure that the people that I'm serving think that I'm doing a good
somebody
job.
Somebody comes up and says, you don't know this, but thank you. You helped me get a job.
Yes.
I've got a good job. I can stay in this community. And
mm-hmm.
I've got a family, and thank you for the role that you play.
Just something, because that's why I'm doing it. Again, I'm not doing it for fame and glory. I'm doing it to make this a community where we can continue to live. And so that's what I see for the future of Cookeville. We're growing. There's no way to stop that.
But
we can do it the right way.
Yeah, we can... It's the old thing, quality, plan, manage growth. Rapid growth is very difficult because infrastructure takes years. Let's look in that crystal ball now. Talk about what's going on and what y'all are doing now that's really making,
Well, you said infrastructure, and I think that's the biggest thing. Once I got into city government, I realized, while yes, it is fun to have the shiny, flashy new things and stuff like that, infrastructure is how you grow in a way that is productive and positive. And so our city council, we took a step and said, we have a lot of infrastructure needs. Not that Cookeville wasn't taking care of itself already, but with the growth that's happening, if we want to grow right, we've got to take care of our roads, our sewer, our water, our infrastructure. And so we've done that. All of our big capital projects that we've done have been road improvements, the expansion of the water treatment plant. Yes. Making sure that all of our utilities, we're upgrading our utilities so that they're the most technologically advanced, things like that. That's the kind of stuff that we're doing.
It's not the sexy part.
It's not
the glamorous. You announce a new industry.
Look, we're going to get some sewer lines. No one's going to be at that ribbon cutting.
In Tennessee, it takes 10 to 12 years to build a major road working with the local. So,
or 20 in Jefferson Avenue's case.
And South Jefferson, wonderful.
That's been 20 years in the making. It is.
I know.
And 2026 is when we're projecting for it to be done.
10th Street?
10th Street. Now, 10th Street is us. That's a city
project.
And we're ahead
wonderful.
Of schedule. But these are all things that needed to happen.
And what tech is the same way. A lot of these projects were in the hopper for years, and now... We're birthing a new university,
right?
Physical plant.
Physically, yes. And you know what we're doing? We're doing it together, because the city of Cookeville said, "Hey, we realize when tech succeeds, we succeed."
That's
and
right.
So the city and county both.
When the hospital succeeds.
So the city, we committed dollars to the new stadium at Tech, which I know some people are like, why would you do that?
That's one of our big, the tennis, the state high school championships.
Yes, because when you have a facility like that, that not only is good for the university, but good for the community. You have the TSSAA come back. You have concerts. You have events. You have all these people coming into Cookeville, because where do we get our money? We get our money from people visiting Cookeville and spending their tax dollars, spending their money here, and then we get to keep those sales tax dollars. And so it is something that grows the community,
it's economic development.
Look at that. It is, isn't it? That's the foundation of economic development. And
mayor
so,
Womack called it catch and release when he was mayor.
I got to serve with him.
Catch these tourists coming
and
in.
Yeah, let them go back home.
You get in their pocket. They spend the night, spend money, and go home.
And go back home, yeah. And so that's what but then we also want the quality of life for the people
get a benefit.
For the people who live here to improve. And so that's why, again, we're doing those infrastructure projects, which aren't the big, shiny, flashy things, but in the long run, that's what I'm going to be able to, I feel like I look back and say, hey, I laid the groundwork literally for Cookeville to be the city that it is today, and to have the growth and to have the economic development and to have the jobs and to have the partnerships, because we, and I think this comes back to my healthcare background, because in healthcare, we're very much about being proactive, right? No. It's much easier to keep someone from having a heart attack than treating them while they're having the heart attack.
That's exactly
and so
right.
If I can take care of this city's health proactively and make sure that we're doing the right thing, so when those big things happen, like the growth or the new businesses that want to come in, hey, we've got everything set up for you. Come on in. We're ready for you. By the way, you're going to have to pay your employees, you know, above minimum wage. By the way, you're going to have to invest in the city of Cookeville. You can't just put a building in and put people in. We want to make sure that you're a member of the chamber, things like that.
Be active. And we have that.
And that's, we do have that. We already had it. And so that's my future for
Gene
Cookeville.
Gene Davis years ago talked about build. You know, she said it's foundational. We are building on the shoulders of giants. Mm-hmm. I remember her telling me that.
Yeah, and she said, is true.
She was building when she was a, her husband, the mayor.
I mean, you look at that, and we're just continuing to do that. And I feel like it's in a way that I'm very proud of, that when I'm done with office in 2 years, I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to look at it. And I hope that I will have left Cookeville in a better place. That's what my crystal ball wants. I want it to be.
At your young age. And your experience. No, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You're going to have opportunities, I believe, in your servant's heart.
Yeah. Don't worry.
To do more. I'm not worried about you.
People ask, what are you going to do next? And I'm like, maybe I'll be PTO president. I think that's all I got left in me right now. I'm going to take a little break and enjoy my kids. But, it's really cool because my kids are at the age now where they understand what I'm doing. And they
role model. They're singing. You're teaching.
Let me tell you, my daughter now, what she wants to be when she grows up, president. She'll go, I want to be president.
Wonderful.
And she says it like it is something that you can do tomorrow. And I love the fact that she thinks that is, because when I was a child, that was not an accomplishable goal for me.
No.
And for her, she can walk out the door and go
wonderful.
Be president. Yeah. And that's what I want my legacy to be, is that I was someone that people saw what they wanted to be. And I was a role model for them. And they said, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
And you're consistent. You're not... I mean, you're a very...
I hope people see that too. Leader. Yeah, that
consistent.
I...
Consistent. You have a...
If I'm passionate about something, I'm going to... Yes. I'm going to put my heart and soul into it, and that people see that my values are, my faith, my family, my community, my servant's heart, that they're going to see
Amen.
That those are... That's what leads and guides me, and that's why I do what I do. Again, not because... I'm looking to be, the most famous mayor or anything like that. I'm doing this because at the end of the day, I want someone to come up to me and say, thank you for what you did. You made my life a little bit better.
And hopefully one day, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Servant, exactly. That's what I want to be remembered as. I want to be remembered as a servant.
We only got a little time. I'm so glad. I've learned a lot again.
And I know. We could do this forever.
We're blessed with a lot of leaders.
We are. Yourself included.
Who come here mm-hmm. and who are, you're expected to serve.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we're a better place because of it.
We really are. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see, God willing, mm-hmm. I can't wait to see the future and where we're going to be.
And hey, maybe that future will include a national championship for these Ole Miss Rebels, or maybe another one for those.
Be careful. Uh-huh. I think we better sign off on that.
That one.
Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the outstanding work.
I will.
Thank you.